Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Okay, thank you, everybody. We're going to try and keep you awake after lunch because I know it's a difficult time. We're doing a twin centre holiday. You've got Sharon and myself, first of all, for half an hour. And Janine for the second half. What we're talking about, is a project that was sponsored by the Q&I and the Trust called What Really Matters. And the Trust very kindly gave us a grant to kickstart things. I'm going to talk about how it developed, and then Sharon's going to give us a live demo. She's got a roving mic. So I'm Amanda, and this is Sharon. It came about. I was listening to what we had this morning about how nurses need to influence the agenda. I basically facilitated an away day for a team of district nurses. I'm not actually a district nurse, but I'm sort of honorary.
She's not.
I'm actually a health visitor and a children's nurse by trade, and I was kind of like Switzerland. I was neutral. So I sort of facilitated this away day. We had it at the fire station, which is very popular for obvious reasons. But what we were trying to do was look at how fire people, firemen and ladies, are very lean and how they have standard procedures and how they basically deal with emergencies, such as life, which is pretty much the NHS these days, how we can work as a team to be more streamlined without losing quality. You were heavily pregnant at the time, so you were in the back of the fire engine. She didn't want to be on the pitch.
Only just
really
being
pregnant.
Hidden by the fire engine.
Just being hidden by the fire engine. So there's a few of the nurses there. So this is where the idea developed, basically. And basically, on the away day, a lot of staff were... It was one of those moany sessions where everybody's like, oh, it's so just... You know, things are getting on top of us. So we actually said, what do we want to achieve? And really, one of the things that kept popping up is that patients really needed bigger say into their care, especially around the time of visit. Because people's needs out in the community are really complicated and they have a lot of things happening to them. And basically, the district nurses were finding it difficult that they were turning up at times when other people were there, etc. Plus, it's not great for the patient. We also were under increasing pressure to increase the amount of hours and contact minutes with patients face-to-face. We found that the district nurses were finding that they were spending more and more time with paperwork and not with patients, and it wasn't really why we became nurses. So what we decided, we wanted this sort of blue sky thinking. What would we like to see? And what we said, we'd like a more responsive, proactive system to meet patient needs, to deal with the increasing numbers of patients that were coming out of hospital. Think about community care now. It's very different from even 2 or 3 years ago. The complexity of patients is a lot more significant. And really, the workforce was struggling to keep up with that. We also needed more face-to-face care, which is what we became nurses for, even though I actually sit at a desk now, unfortunately. But, you know, indirectly I help. We also need a more consistent and efficient way of allocating the patients. We were finding that we were having some errors, and it was taking ages to actually do it. One of the senior nurses, she used to spend about 7 hours a week looking at how you allocate. She'd allocate weekly, and then halfway through the week, it was all higgledy-piggledy when somebody got admitted or discharged or sadly died. So we needed something a bit more responsive. We also needed a safety net because we were having issues with missed visits because it was so complicated. You know, Fred needed his INR check-in a week on Thursday, but it had to link in with his leg dressing and all these various other things. So we wanted to basically have a safety net that would stop missed visits happening, because where there was a missed visit that was relating to giving medication, it was a medication error, which was a big no-no. And we also needed, finally, to sort of get IT to support nurses, not to work against them. We've all worked in systems, and you think, who came up with that? It's rubbish. You know, it's not fit for purpose. So we decided the only way we'd get it sorted is to do it ourselves. So we also thought, that's our district nursing team there, we've got high-tech equipment, and we thought, if British Gas can do it, why can't we do it? British Gas claim that they can, it's never happened to me yet, actually, but they claim that they can do a two-hour time window, or they do AM-PM-ish. But we basically needed to improve how we actually met our patients' needs. So what we're going to do is basically, I'm going to stop waffling, but really show you the actual system in action. Now, when we first did it as a pilot, it was an Excel spreadsheet design, which was great, but it was easily breakable. So we've now gone on to a fancy new one. And what we're going to do is there's two main points to it. First bit will be about sort of everyday nursing benefit to it. And the second part is more about the management and the nuts and bolts and various exciting things. So I'm going to hand you over to Sharon, who's going to talk you through it.
Yeah, as Amanda said, obviously, this software was developed by the nurses using it. I came on board with it the end of last year, and we used the Excel version that we were piloting in some teams, which worked, but we could see the sort of downfalls of how that would work for the service. So I spent some time taking the software developer out on visits with me, which was a real eye-opener for him, being that he'd not come from any form of nursing background, so that he could see how district nursing is very changeable, even on the day you're out doing the visits. We developed this software, and since last year, this is unrecognisable now. We've had many meetings with sort of project team, with nurses that have all fed back different things they wanted in the system to be able to make it more user-friendly, and hence we have this lovely software now. I might have to move it around a little bit because it's a laptop version, so it's not brilliant. So as Amanda said, there are two fundamental parts to it, really. Just to say, this has just got test data on. There are no real patient or staff demographics on, but this is exactly as it would look in the live version. So the top row basically just looks at sort of the usability of it. So we've got the patient section, so that's where all the patient's details are stored. Excuse some of the names. I got a little bit fed up of trying to come up with some really interesting names. We've got Betty Crocker there. So this has got all the patient details, so obviously you can look at your caseload if you like. Obviously traditionally we had our folders with all our patients written in and you could see your caseload. It did take a lot of time for nurses to be able to adapt to looking at the caseload slightly different. So obviously you can click on any patient and just see what the details are and what you're going for. When we fill new patients in on this, we use GraphNet, which is what we use in Stockport. So it basically, you just search for the patient and it finds them on like the local spine and then imports all the data for you so that you know the NHS number and everything's correct. So we've got our nurses and availability. Again, this took a lot of work around because the software developer thought we worked set days, 9 to 5, no weekends. So obviously we had to do a lot of work around the different shift patterns that all the work the nurses do.
And we have holidays.
Yes, we do have holidays sometimes. So obviously we can put in for weeks at a time or months at a time what each nurse would be working. So the main bit is the daily planning screen. So this is the screen that is used to allocate the work each day. So basically, this is what the work would look like. So you can allocate each individual patient to whichever nurses that you want, or we also have the auto-allocate facility, which is good for continuity of care. So and basically, I'll show you how it works on here. It'll mean some nurses are really busy, but if you just click auto-allocate, what it will do is allocate the patients to the last nurse that went. So basically, it's telling me now that everyone's really busy. That has done a lot of the allocation for you. These ones that are left here are patients that are probably new, or ones that I've put on at this weekend that haven't been seen by a nurse before. So you can easily click on each nurse and see what work they've got on for the day. At the bottom here where it says minutes to allocate and minutes available, you can see easily whether you've got a staff team that is able to work with the amount of work that you've got today. If, for example, you'd use the auto-allocate and you thought, well, actually, I don't want Sarah to go and see Betty, you can just send Betty back to the pool. And it's really quick and easy to use. As clinical leads, we found this really beneficial because historically, no caseload was transparent. You only knew how busy that caseload was in that team. Now we can see all caseloads right across Stockport, so we can change the team at the top where it says, Councillor Lane on this one. We can change it and see the areas that may need extra help. We've been able to move staff around. There have been times where we've not had to book bank because we can now see teams that are not as busy as others and easily move patients across. You can do double up visits. So if you wanted, say, if you've got somebody on the Liverpool care pathway and you wanted two nurses to go. There you are, you see. She's not working. So that's just told me that she's not there in the afternoon. So you can easily just send one visit to two nurses. At the moment, we are using daily worksheets. So we're currently working with iPads, so we're developing an app so that these will work directly on the iPad, so that when you log in, you'll see exactly your work. That's what a daily worksheet looks like, and at the moment, we're printing those out. So you've got all your visits listed with the address, The time band. Yeah, the time band that they'd be expected to be seen, and obviously who the nurse is and what they're working. So you take this out and then you can record times as to when you started the visit and when you left the visit. But eventually, once the iPads are rolled out, you'll just automatically put your times in, and I'll show you that in a minute. So that's the daily worksheet, really quick and easy to use. I've found as well, if I've been working for teams that aren't my area, if there have been staff shortages, it's really easy to allocate work because you can do it by postcode. So if you just click at the postcode, it puts all the visits that live near each other in a chronological order, so you can just allocate all those to one nurse so that you've not got nurses. Do a lot of this, by the way. All over Stockport.
Sitting in traffic.
You can do it by time band, by nurse band, so what we'd expect. So we're making sure we've got the right skills for the patients, you know, for the right treatments. And if I did try and give a patient to a nurse who's maybe a band 3, where we would expect a 5 to go, then it will tell me and it won't sort of allow me to give that visit over. So that's the daily planning. This here is the nurse visit actuals. So like I was showing you then on the daily worksheet, right. So on the daily worksheet, as it stands, nurses would write the time next to the patient as to when they started the treatment, and they would write the time as to when they finished the treatment. What they do is when they've done the work, they would come back in to the office and put those times in for reporting purposes. Traditionally, we use a different system, which was IPM or Lorenzo. I'm not sure if any of you have used that. This method of recording is easier and significantly faster to the old type of recording that we were using. So you can just put in what time you did the visit. No, you weren't there till 2 o'clock.
We've sort of estimated around about 2 hours a week of saving time. We're having to log on to IPM, and it's very slow. Never works very well on a Friday. There's all these things in there.
And now
so
it
actually
feels.
Means there's a bit more time for each practitioner to have doing face-to-face. And everybody hated Lorenzo, but they quite like this because they've been involved in organising it. It's kind of a new front end, isn't it?
Yeah. Obviously, with the rollout of the iPads and the paperless working, we've now installed a document library in the system, and that means that when you go and do a new visit, you have the iPad with you. You can actually fill out documentation on the iPad, so the assessment forms. So you can do a full assessment on that person. So you can do all these on the iPad without having to do them when you get back at the office. And then obviously, if you're going out doing work, you can just open up each individual assessment form for the patient and just see what the medical history is, what any allergies are. So that's something new that we've worked into it for when we move to the iPads. So with the reporting side, we've done an awful lot of development on this, really, because initially the software was just a scheduling tool. It was just a way, like Amanda said, of making sure that we can work more efficiently and more effectively for the patients. But we now also have the ability, because we highlighted that from a data collection point of view, we weren't really very good. So this now collects all the data for us. Obviously, it can print an off-duty out from the nurse shifts that we've put into the software. So all that off-duty has been formulated by the system with the shift patterns that we've put in. But we can also look at visit statistics as well. So as a trust, and I'm sure many other trusts, we have to record on activity by numbers, so sort of numbers of catheters done in a period, and it's really easy to do using the software, because obviously once that person with the catheter change has been allocated to a nurse, they would come back in and actualise it, so they would put that they'd done it, it was face-to-face, and the length of time they took, and then that information automatically feeds into the reports.
It also means our colleagues in the audit team don't have to ring Sharon and say, Sharon, can you do an audit on how many catheters you've got and how many infections, etc. They can actually do it remotely, and it means that the clinicians aren't having to do the audit necessarily. It can be done by somebody off-site. Audit was taking a long time. Historically, it used to be pulling notes and fishing through pages. So you could do an audit just like that now. So it is really useful and a lot more responsive.
So obviously just filtering out using the visit statistics from June to date, because I know there's not been many catheter changes on the test data, that shows us that there have been 3 catheter changes during that time. So we can really easily filter out any of the information that we wanted to look at.
The managers do get a little bit of extra training in the back in this sort of area, because it does look quite complicated, but I think when you use it on a daily basis, it's relatively straightforward. And you can do it from a different base, can't you?
Yeah. So
it's good for continuity of care. We've had, you remember when it snowed a couple of years back, we had a couple of clinics that were up a hill and nobody could get to work, so it was a bit of a disaster when the paperwork was in the venue. So we can use this sort of thing to allocate should there be an adverse weather issue or a plane crash or something. So it's a lot better for continuity.
Going back to what we've already said and what Viv touched on before, all of the developments on this have come feedback from the staff that are using them, and obviously, like I said in the beginning, looking on that first patient tab, it was a really big change for people that used to be able to look at a folder and see all the patients. So we have, as part of the contingency report, worked in the patient caseload for each team as well.
And that makes it fairer between teams, because we all know everybody says we're busy, but there still is some areas of capacity. That's been helpful for yourself as a manager, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Perception of busy is a different reality in quite often a lot of bases, and that has helped for the times when, say, somebody's rung in sick at 8 o'clock in the morning. You can literally find somebody that day and be more responsive.
I could literally talk for hours about this, and there's so much that we can show you on it, but I'm conscious of time, and okay. The baby will start crying.
The baby will start crying, next one. So I'll just, really, it's about taking it forward now. We have mentioned the iPads, obviously. So we're going to excuse the pun, but we're going from tablets to tablets. We have managed to secure some funding. Our community trust got taken over by a foundation trust, and we'd done this independently, but we've finally managed to sort of get... We've been jumping up and down saying, this is ACE, you can't stop using it. It's been put onto their server now, and it's mushroomed, really. I think in November there's going to be a meeting and the health visitors are going to start using this, so that should be fun. There are some moves to basically have health and social care in Stockport using this scheduling tool so that we're not all seeing people at the wrong time. And can I do something on behalf of you while I'm there? And we're going to try and use it for looking at reducing emergency admissions and various other things. Let's say, for example, I'm trying to discharge Fred from A&E. I could literally pop it straight into Sharon's diary to say, can you go and visit Fred in 2 hours to make sure he doesn't bounce back, you know, those sorts of things. So there's a lot of sort of function that we can expand towards. We've got about £600,000 worth of funding now to roll out the iPads, the software. We've moved it from one guy doing the design to it's going to a team. It's basically going to be completely industrialised. And it's really good because we're quite proud, because it's just come from us at our fire station. And it's now...
With the baby.
How old's the baby?
Two.
It's
been a lot of work.
It's been a lot of work, but actually it's doing really well. So we'd like to say, we feel
that's
like...
That's not my baby.
That's not her baby.
Although I'd be happy if it was.
Yeah, it's quite cute. So we'd like to thank the Q&I, because actually, and the Burdett Trust, because actually the money and the support that they gave us meant that our organisation actually formally listened to what we were on about and said, oh, that's a good idea. So without their support, I don't think we'd be here. We wouldn't be here today, but we wouldn't have been so successful in achieving where we're at. Should we do baby first and next, and then take questions at the end if we've got time?
Yeah.
Right, we're going to do that because I'm conscious I don't want to rob the next lady's time. So if you've got any questions, just hang on. But we are also around at coffee. And if Bill Gates is in the house, feel free to come and sponsor us.
Well, Bill Gates, goodness me, you pair of entrepreneurs, really. I don't know why you're still in the NHS. I move about a little bit, so if I walk in front of the screen, please do forgive me. But I'm a health visitor, I'm a team leader from Cannock, and I was invited to come and speak to you today, and I can see on the schedule that I'm down as innovation and invention. But I'm not going to cue my script anymore, I'm going to change it a little bit, because when I looked at the delegates list this morning, I thought, what am I doing at a healthcare at home conference? Because I thought, there's only 3 health visitors down there and 2 are sitting over there. say that having looked at this and listened to this morning's delegates, I've picked up on one thing that Jane Cummins, new CNO, has said, and it's about courage. And I think for 150 years, health visitors have been going into homes, and we're celebrating that fact this year. So I'd like to think that I've done a lot of healthcare at home during the 15 years that I've been visiting people in people's homes. But society's changed, and basically, if we think about courage, women don't go into hospital anymore to have babies. That was taken away from them because obviously it's safer to go into hospital to have your babies. So there's little need now to send somebody to the end of the road to call the midwife. I mean, you've all saw that lovely documentary and we all enjoyed it and we've all bought the book. But things have moved on, unbelievably moved on. And now if we go into hospital to have our babies and we have a cesarean section, we can be discharged within 6 to 24 hours. So why am I here talking to you today? Because basically I've done a project that took a lot of courage. And if I think about innovation and invention, it's about looking at a taboo subject that isn't in the remit of my quality and my delivery. And I wrote a few things down while Jane Cummins was talking. She says, what are we good at? What am I good at as a health visitor and as a team leader? Well, I know I'm good at public health, so I'm confident about my public health delivery. I'm confident that I've been trained above and beyond around breastfeeding. I've got breastfeeding initiatives coming out my ears. I know about child development because obviously from the minute it's born to the minute it goes off to the school nurses, I can see the trajectory of where parents will go. So I know about parenting and I know that I can tell parents what's good, what's bad, what's a great idea and what not to do. Whether they listen, it's entirely up to them. I know about healthy eating. I do a bit myself and that's why I stay nice and slim. But we know that kids, obviously, they want to eat what they want to eat, and you're only as good as your mum's dishes. So I grew up on my mum's good Sunday roasts, and I grew up on my good wholesome puddings, rice pudding, you know, all of that, egg custard. But, you know, I'm working with mums who don't even know what a carrot is, okay? And believe me, they don't. I know about nursing care because I've got 34 years in that, and I've had 3 great careers in that time. I've done general nursing, I've been a midwife, and now I'm a health visitor. I also know a little bit, more than I really want to know, about safeguarding and prevention. That's what brings me to this subject. Another subject that I know I'm really good at, if Jane was in the room, and that's about maternal mental health. But basically, let's have a look at a little DVD, just for a few minutes of our DVD, and let's have a look at what's wrong with society.
There are 150 to 200 reported cases of shaken baby attacks every year in the UK. Approximately one-third of infants with non-accidental head injuries die. This film aims to show you the types of situation when shaken baby syndrome can occur.
Shut up! Just shut up!
And some coping mechanisms to help you in the future.
Anyone can shake a baby. Anyone can lose control for that split second and harm a baby.
Once brain damage has occurred, there is no going back.
The worst thing for somebody found guilty of shaking a young baby could be that they could go to prison.
My baby fell ill. He just wouldn't stop crying. I never meant to hurt him. I lost control. I shook him. Now I'm in prison for 11 years.
We'll follow Luke and Amy as they try and cope with caring for baby Ethan. Ethan is a typical 4-month-old baby boy. And whilst Luke and Amy love him very much, they're starting to realise just how hard it can be to look after a baby.
It is great being a mum, it is, but I never thought it would be this hard, and I just had to give up so much. I wanted to go to college and, you know, just be a teacher, and I had all my life planned out, all my dreams, and we're only young ourselves. Luke's been great, and he tries to do everything he can, but we don't do anything we used to do. It's not about us, it's about Ethan.
I mean, I love baby Ethan, and I love Ames, but it's a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I'm always hearing about how my mates have a great time going out, and they're always nagging me to go out with them, but you can't. Then I get home, and hard day at work, she's nagging at me. It's hard work, but I want to do the right thing.
Bottles this morning. He's got empty bottles and he's crying, and I've got... Yeah, I've only got one pair of hands. Just get it! Oh, come on.
I just can't believe it. Ethan, my grandson, is in hospital. He's in intensive care. If only our Amy had rang me. I'd have been there. This should never have happened.
Hi, Mummy, to me. No, I'm not coping. Can you come round and have your pick up of others? Oh, you are a lifesaver. Thank you. Have you seen my bag? Hello, have you seen my bag? What's your problem?
I ain't got a problem.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
But do you think it's right that you should be going out when Ethan's so young? Dressed up like that?
Like what? It's the first time in 9 months I've been out. Now you've got a problem. You're not going to ignore him all night, are you?
I think I know how to look after my own boy.
Get it in!
Healthcare at home. It's not just the lovely little baby that, you know, we delivered a few months ago. A baby's cry can reach well over 100 decibels. That's as noisy as a siren on a police car. So it's not all fun. But where does innovation and invention and healthcare at home all fit in with who I am as a health visitor? I'll tell you the opportunity I was given. I've been given the opportunity by the Queen's Nursing Institute and through the funds that I won in an application through the Innovation Awards to develop a DVD and a teaching pack. You saw it was about school nursing. I'm not going to talk to you about that because this pack and the DVD that you've partly watched is around reducing the incidences to more than just school children of the likelihood of non-accidental head injuries. which occur predominantly in the home by a main carer. Now, when I first started giving talks, it was in schools, and the research for the whole project came from working with school children who said, we want to know what's going on, and we want to know, just as important about smoking cessation, sex education, when they saw this DVD, they also want to know around preparing themselves for parenthood. But the great part in this DVD also has been a great contraception, because the noise of that crying has put off a lot of young men becoming parents at early age. But what it has done for young men, excuse me, is given them the message that 70% of perpetrators are young men under the age of 24. And one baby every 2 weeks is shaken. Cue my second piece of innovation and technology, because I've shown you the DVD and I was sponsored to make that DVD, of which I'm hugely grateful. But the scenario that led to the DVD was a very expensive American doll. £700 worth of innovation and technology. Noisy? Don't want to take it home? Don't want to put it on when you're watching your favourite DVD? Or when you fancy giving your girlfriend a little smooch because this baby's crying? I'll start it again because its head is actually lighting up. The whole point of the head lighting up is that we have an opaque head that will tell us on certain areas of the baby's brain, for example, at the back here, where it's very important that if the baby's shaken and there's damage to the retinas, this part of the brain, we will have affected the eyes. Either side of the baby on the brain is the gross motor skills, memory, speech and language, and our personality, all affected if, when a baby is crying and we don't care for it properly and we don't nurse it, we don't put it down, go off and make a cup of coffee, and we don't stop the red mist from coming, and we stroke. 3 seconds. Less than 3 seconds to cause catastrophic and irreversible brain damage. Now, this is healthcare and technology in the very raw scenario here. This is healthcare at home. This is what I've got to be good at as a clinician. Yes, I've made a DVD. Yes, I can go and I can share that DVD with my peers. I can show that DVD in scenarios in schools. I can show that DVD as part of perpetrators' rehabilitation programs. It covers domestic violence, it covers child abuse, it covers alcohol, it covers a lot of subjects, but it's about technology, innovation, and the message of me being able to cover a subject that isn't la la land of parenting. As a health visitor, I have to have the courage to step over the mark when I may have done an assessment with a family. They may be young parents, they may be drug abusers, there may be domestic violence in the family. Those are the families where you have to have the courage and conviction as a health professional to say those few sensitive words. It's a good sign of being a real good parent, if you can't cope, to ask for help. If you can't cope, tell me and I'll get a support network. Or, as a health professional with a lot of experience, you can spot the family and you will take the doll, you will present the DVD. Thankfully, the NSPCC this year are looking at shaken baby syndrome more intensively. The NSPCC have now a new research program going on through Great Ormond Street. It's called the I Promise, and that's where parents are going to be asked to view a DVD, not quite as graphic as my own, but around if you've looked at after a baby, you've had a new baby, you should be shown and you should be told about the episodes for coping mechanisms of a crying baby. It is very, very rare for us to have a baby attacked and killed very quickly like that if it's sleeping. It is the crying baby that will be abused. So this healthcare at home, and I've not showed you another slide. I don't need to show you a slide. Quite graphically, I've shown you what shaken baby syndrome is. One baby every 2 weeks in the UK is a victim. What being innovative, taking myself into that scenario of doing my job in a different dimension as being the fact that there was a doll in a cupboard in a school education programme. We took that doll out of a cupboard. We went to the Q&I with an idea and we created the DVD. I have spoken to more than 4,000 clinicians in the last 2 years. I have been to America. I have been to Family Nurse Partnerships and I've presented at many conferences like this. And as Jane Cummings says, as a nurse, if I can say I've made a difference, I don't know, because I'm not measuring the outcomes of death and the incidences of shaken baby syndrome in the UK. The Home Office is doing that and serious case reviews are doing that. But I can tell you that in the areas that I've spoken to people, I'm leaving you with a very graphic presentation of a taboo subject, and I hope that you'll then disseminate Stop That Shape Baby's Break to your own sons, your own babysitters, and in the community it'll disseminate the message. Thank you. Are we to ask if anybody's got any questions to us?
Just shout. Go on. Do you want to answer that one? Is it,
sorry, can you repeat
does
that?
Does it rely on mobile connectivity? It doesn't at the moment.
Sorry. Now this one's working. Exactly. Now, what I was saying is your solution that you've created, one thing that just wasn't clear in the presentation, or maybe I missed it, was is your solution a briefcase kind of thing whereby the clinician goes in the morning and checks out their cases for the day, or does it rely on mobile connection?
It works on the main computer, so it uses the main internet connection, but we can also use it on the iPads as well. Now, if you use the iPad without a connection, it stores what you're doing, and then when it picks up 3G, yeah, it updates it.
Yeah, right, okay, that's great. Lovely.
We do have a few black spots where it doesn't work, don't you? Yeah. It's a bit of a nightmare. So you can push things when you are somewhere with connectivity. The iPad thing's still work in progress, so at the moment it's mainly the desktop one in the base, or any of the... we've got about 19 teams kicking around, so you can log on anywhere.
How many users have
you got
using?
All the DNs,
haven't
we
got? How many staff have we got? 140, 150.
And it's about, actually, the evening nursing are on it now, and it says 20 teams are using it at the moment, because it's going to kick off when we get health visitors in there as well, and the broader team.
Go on.
Is there any thought to be able to expand this into GP surgery so that you've got the GP record, which would be invaluable?
We are currently working at the moment with, obviously, as Amanda said, we've joined up with the Greater Foundation Trust, so we are one trust now. So our priorities at the moment are looking at how we can streamline the referral process, because if anyone's from district nursing background, that's probably been a bugbear forever. And like Amanda said, to directly put the patients onto the system for the right teams, and we're also looking at using it with other services, so health visitors and other specialist services in the community.
We do struggle a little bit with GPs because they haven't all got the same system. They've bought different packages, even within our health economy. So that's a little bridge too far just at the moment. What we want to do is, as a provider, be more consistent to start with. one of the useful things is, for example, one GP said, I don't know what my district nurses are doing, you know. So we can actually say to them, well, these are your patients, these are the visits. So there is some scope for that for the future, because I think we need to build, obviously, brilliant relationships with the GPs. But at the moment, we're using it in-house. That is an aspirational thing, but it's just a little bit too difficult and a bridge too far at the moment. But we are mindful, because the CCG, the commissioning group, are the ones that ultimately are going to be paying for this rollout. Now, they're involved in the health and social care, the models for the sort of health and social care redesign. So this is going to be one of the tools. So it will be in there eventually, but we haven't got time to do that one just yet, have we, Sharon? No. We do have day jobs as well as doing this, you say, so, unfortunately.
Could I... Sorry. I don't know who just said that. Sorry.
Lady in brown.
Could I just ask you about carers? Obviously, district nurses, when they go into the home, have some significant involvement with carers and supporting them in their roles. Have you thought of building that into your workload analysis?
Yeah, I think that probably goes back to what you said with regards to, obviously, the social integration. And we are piloting in one of our areas, actually working, you know, more socially, looking at patients as a whole, so that this can all, we can all use the same, you know, the same type of software.
I mean, we all know that 80% of 20% of patients use 80% of the funds available, but also our social care colleagues is pretty much, I mean, the two caseloads overlap so hugely. That overlap is the area that we can create the efficiencies without losing the quality, and using a tool, a standard tool, is really what we're looking for. It's very early days on getting that going, but it's been popped in there as it's looking like this is going to be the infrastructure. It's going to get a lot more complicated and technical. We're going to hand it over to the NEDs to sort out, because we really haven't got that capacity, but we know who to ask.
I was just going to say, we've got a mobile solution, and we've really done it the other way around, in that it started off as a patient, electronic patient record, which is accessed with podiatry, other community teams. But we're struggling on getting the staff allocation bit of it. That part of it is not working at all, and that's really hard. So you've done it the other way around. You've started off possibly with the staff allocation element of it. So do you use it for your patient or your patient records as well?
It will be in the future, but at the moment it started off as a little allocation tool, and then the finance people got their hands on it, you know, and all the bells and whistles that were added on about the management tools. So, because it's completely unrecognisable from where we started off, isn't it? We're onto version like 93 or something ridiculous. We haven't done it that way around. I mean, you saw the thing with the set, the care plans are in there now. We're quite a long way from an electronic patient record, but we're hoping that this will start to move towards it. I think nationally we're quite far off, aren't we, as well?
Well, I say I'm from Wales, so we're slightly different.
Oh, international.
Again.
International.
Yeah, so we're sorry. A bit different again. But, yeah, we've done the patient bit first.
Yeah.
And then we're trying to work on... But the community scheduling, the how it was originally built into it, isn't now going to work because the system has grown. So right. The original bit that was built in is not relevant anymore.
I think we started this with the Right Nurse, Right Skill campaign. That was sort of the little kernel in the middle. It'd be huge, couldn't
we've
it?
We've just kind of added bits on, haven't we? We've not changed like the core foundation of it. It's always been a scheduling tool. It's always been so that we can work better across teams, that we can be more visual, and that we can eliminate those missed visits when you've not ticked a name on the paper. And then we've not changed that core dimension of it. We've just added little extra bits that will work with it. I think that's probably why it works to the extent it does.
We got that feedback loop when staff are not happy with how something's happening.
They email me.
They email Sharon. Any more?
Has it affected your budget? Have you been given more budget because you're able to demonstrate your worth? Because I saw on the one slide you got 666 hours, and they didn't equate the client's needs to the staff. Have you got a bigger budget?
That's test data.
Oh.
That was just...
They're not real nurses or real patients. The real daily planning doesn't look like that.
But in the real world, have you?
Have we got more...
Budget. Have you been able to articulate to your managers, you know, that the figures don't match up?
I think, basically, it's still... We've only got around about 6 months' worth of proper live data for all 19, 20 teams. It is work in progress with the commissioners. It will be that loop back saying, you know, we need more capacity in X or Y
area. Yes, we have got the evidence now to say, look, this team is minus 800 minutes every day. And that is what we have taken to them to look at staffing and business proposals for extra staff, which is what we've done in one of the teams.
Okay. It's not just about the extra staff, it's the right type of staff in the right type of place at the right time. You know, it may be that we need more band threes in the morning to do X, Y or Z. You know, we need more sixes to do the more complex patients in the afternoon. It can create, it's given us so much data that really our senior managers are like, if the little light bulb's gone off, you can see them going, great, this is really useful data, but it's about making that meaningful. Go back to the commissioners and saying, if you want an effective district nurse service, you know, we have now got the data, which we've never had, which has been brilliant, because a lot of staff used to say to me, oh, we're so busy, and I said, well, how do we show it? And they were like, we can't, you know, so it's actually been really beneficial. I can see in the next sort of 12 months there will be some impact, hopefully not a negative impact, because we're actually showing we're doing above and beyond, to be honest, because we can't say no, because we're nurses, because we care. So, but we need to start rewarding our service for the activity we actually do. Do we have one more at the back? There's a little one.
Why is he waving?
Oh, thanks for a fantastic presentation. I thought it was really interesting. I was doing a similar project myself. And I just wondered, have you had any conversations with TPP with regards to System 1? Because I think this is desperately what System 1 is missing from a district nursing perspective.
Nope. But we're more than interested, more than happy. Email Sharon. No, we haven't. Really, what we've done now is I've moved away from this project. Sharon's sort of the clinical person that's helped industrialise it. We do have a little team that's starting to do it, but if we'd be more than interested to hear from you. We're at the stage where we still could leap either way, so any networks would be great, and we're keen on sharing this best practice because we've done a lot of legwork on this, and really you can learn a lot from us.
Yeah, no, I'm aware of another area that's trying to do what you're trying to do, and I think you've already done it, so right. I think it would be great to share. It's brilliant.
Definitely.
Thank you.
Should we make this the last one? Are you waiting?
There's a question from the online audience.
Oh, right.
Someone just said, is the information encrypted on the iPad?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I don't know if anybody's got iPads.
But it's live.
You've got these cool things on iPads where you can, if it gets nicked, you can scrub them remotely. You can do find my iPad and it will bleep to say where it is, but you can also completely wipe anything that's on it. So it's a lot more secure than a diary, to be honest. Everybody was panicking, going, ooh, iPads, you know, but actually they're much better.
Yeah.
The other nifty thing on iPads is you can access the BNF. You could FaceTime your boss and say, have a look at this wound, you know. You can use Google Maps if you get lost. So there's loads of things that are on there that will be really good.
I mean, if you think about it from a governance point of view, historically the information we've carried around in our diaries, you know, you've scribbled stuff down, it's far safer way of working than your good old diary, even though we all love our diaries.
It's also a lone working device because you can get a little GPS thing and it, the little dot on Find My iPad, it's like Find My District Nurse. So as long as they don't leave it on a train or something horrendous, then it's much, much better.
Okay.
We got one more? Should we make this the last one, I think, because you might need a cup of coffee in a minute.
Hello, I found your presentation really, really interesting. And I actually double-booked myself today, and I was supposed to be at the Centre for Workforce Intelligence annual conference, which is today as well.
This is far more exciting.
But it did make me, listening to you, I'm very aware my area is, I'm a researcher at National Nursing Research Unit at King's College London, and I've done lots of work around workforce planning and staffing models and that sort of thing. And I know that generally amongst workforce planners and HR people is recognised that there isn't very good planning systems out there for planning what community nurse staffing is needed and how do you get the right staff with the right skills in the right place. And I just think it would be really good actually to hook up with some of those people, because I've been to lots of those Centre for Workforce Intelligence things, and every year I'm waiting to hear more about, well, what are they doing in terms of helping people with methods and approaches. And the data that you're capturing, albeit for slightly different reasons, would be so incredibly valuable, as you've said, about being able to really work out what your needs are, how you're meeting them, what you need more of, you know, and why, and what the skills are. And I think it would be fantastic to be able to try and get that picked up nationally as a really good example of sort of workforce planning that's completely connected in with delivering the service and managing it.
What we've found is, because this is prospective as well as retrospective, I could have a look at what's going on next Wednesday, obviously based on what we know about what patients and what's... We know which staff are on. Patients will change a little bit, but they don't change that much. I mean, there might be sort of a 5% change. We could have a look at next Wednesday and say, oh, crikey, it's Easter Sunday next, or next Sunday. It's Easter Sunday, we need to jiggle the staff around, or we know that there's a study day or something, or it's, there's some reason. We haven't had the chance to sort of plan in advance and say we need a bank nurse or we need to move staff around. It's always been retrospective, knee-jerk, panic, sort of, crikey, it's 8:30 and somebody's rung in sick, you know, or somebody's on holiday. Yeah. You can plan. I mean, I could, if Sharon was to have another baby, I could put it in.
She isn't.
She's not. Especially after that video. We could sort of say, well, Sharon goes on mat leave next month. We'll stop allocating patients to Sharon and they'll go to somebody else. So it has been really responsive, but proactively so, and it's really helped the managers. Especially when you have that, used to ring round trying to find a spare nurse and they said, I've got no capacity. You can say, well, actually, you look like you've got a couple of hours spare based on your projected work. Now, we're aware that what we do on the tasks, what we've done is spoken to clinicians and we say, right, to do a procedure X, there's a range, isn't there? But we've put the average. Now, we all know sometimes you can get it done really quickly. Sometimes you open that front door and all hell's broken loose and nothing goes to plan. So it is, there is some flexibility in there. It isn't completely set in stone and say, well, you've done 22 minutes and you should have only had 20. So there is an element of it, you have to be realistic about it, but it really helps on a general day-to-day basis. The team leaders don't look quite so frazzled. Well,
no, they do.
They do.
Thank you. Hi, this is for Janine. I've just been busy tweeting about your DVD and somebody called Kath Evans is asking if there's a link for the DVD.
Yes, there is.
Is it possible to let me know what the link is so I can let her know?
Yes, we have a support@stopthatshake.com.
Thank you.
Anybody else who wants that, you know, I'm here, just coming out.
Oh, there we go.
I just want to say, obviously, because we've not got anybody to close off this session, but how long have you girls been nursing, you know, like, how long have you been a nurse?
15 years now.
10.
Can't believe it, we look so young.
10, that's, you know, 25 years as nurses, and you sound, you know, so entrepreneurial, and you are absolutely, I'm sure you want to give them a round of applause, because this is coming out of your day-to-day job, what you've created, and I think whoever's the techno buffs in the audience need to listen to the nurses on the ground, because, you know, we've often got the solutions that you need to put IT and all the semantics in the infrastructure of the NHS right.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.